Welcome back to the Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones, and today we have Brandy with us. She's going to be sharing her story. How's it going, Brandy?
Things are going really well. Had a good day at work and no complaints.
I'm excited for this story. We have been playing Discord tag for the last couple of weeks, trying to make it happen. And finally, we are able to just sit down and have a conversation about dumb phones and, you know, everything in between. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. What do you do and what dumb phone are you using?
So I kind of describe myself as a walking Jeopardy garbage post. If there is some little random Trivial Pursuit type bit of information, I have probably read about it somewhere. As my day job, I make maps, which is pretty cool, but it's nothing like what people think it is. I actually map out telecom utilities and do design work for fiber and coax networks. So yeah, I'm very, very much involved in technology. And my current dumb phone is actually an LG Exalt. I got it new in box for $150, but recently they have shot up to be like $400, and that's insane.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but is the Exalt the one that has a slide out? Is that correct?
No. This was the first 4G LTE flip phone that Verizon released. It's the silver one with the little red light on the front. It does not have an external screen, so I have to flip it open to see who's calling me.
Yes, that's what I do remember. Okay, yeah. Now I know what you're talking about, the Exalt 4G. I think that one's certainly fairly moddable. It was one of the early Android dumb phones, right? Like, you know, and you can add a couple of extra apps from the App Store Flip Team, if I recall correctly. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. So tell us like a little bit more about, it sounds like your work, you're in the kind of like tech industry, like you're doing some things with tech, right? You need maps, you're mapping, you're doing these things that sounds like a lot of fancy tools or some, you know, sort of expertise to a certain degree. How do you manage with a dumb phone? Does that interfere in your everyday life?
It has actually interfered with my first job. I was converting basically paper maps into two-dimensional interactive maps specifically for telephone lines in New York. And like, if you know anything about the infrastructure in New York, it's a mess. So, but with that job, I actually had to have Duo available. So what I was doing was a half and half deal. I had one number on two devices. I had a Galaxy S10 that I used for Duo so that I could, you know, actually get into my workstation, because I think we had like 12 different passwords to get into these programs and the vendors' databases and such like that. So like I had to have all these authentication apps, and it was a struggle then. And the funniest thing about it was I told my boss, I'm like, look, I need a security token. I can't keep using the smartphone. It's too distracting. And they're like, well, we're not going to order you a security token. Just do your best. I'm like, okay. And then like a month later, they're like, you know, you're spending too much time on your phone. And I'm just over here like, we talked about this.
Right.
So that was a huge struggle for me. Fortunately, after that job, I was able to just use it for maps, because I lived in Atlanta at the time. And if you've ever been to Atlanta, ever driven through Atlanta, you know it's a horrific mess. The roads cannot handle the population there at all. And I had to be able to get traffic updates on the fly. So even though I had a Garmin, it never got me where I wanted to go in a reasonable amount of time. Like I'm talking at 2-hour commute on a good day. So
I absolutely agree with that. I actually just went through Atlanta yesterday. I was driving back from work. We had a meeting up in North Georgia. I live in South Georgia, and literally I was just passing through. Luckily my Garmin, I guess, kind of like a tale of two Garmins, right? Like my Garmin let me know that there was like a huge traffic jam and I was able to avoid it on time. But yes, I agree with you on Atlanta. You know, it's kind of like you need maps, you need live kind of like redirecting me, because you really need to get home at a reasonable time. And sometimes that's the only way is to have something that's smarter, right? Than just your old GPS. Maybe mine got a little bit smarter because of the, I think we had the live maps on it, just because we have like a premium, whatever, the premium live maps that come with it. So that kind of worked for me, but I completely agree, which kind of prompts me to, so, you know, you kind of have these apps that you kind of need for work, or you used to need for work. And I actually been seeing this one recurring, the Duo app, which is not Duo, Google Duo. It's nothing to do with the video chat, but it's rather a authentication app that a lot of businesses use, and also universities. I remember using that app, or maybe it was coming out when I was getting out of college, or when I was in my master's maybe, and I was doing, you know, kind of like work, and they were authenticating, and it was a pain. I think two-factor authentication is important because of security and everything, but sometimes it's just a pain, you know, and it gets in the way of using dumb phones. So what were some of the alternatives? You just switch jobs? Is that what the solution is for a lot of people, that, hey, I'm using these apps, I don't want to use them, let me just switch jobs?
So for me, that wasn't the case. Well, for the first job, yes, that's what happened. But also our contract ran out, so I had to find new work anyway. The life of a temp, right? So what happened is, when I went to my next job, they had the two-factor authentication tokens, you know, the little electronic keychains. You press a button, it gives you a code. It was that kind of deal. And Duo has those as well. Duo also has text-based authentication options and a few other things, so that you don't have to use the app. The only problem is your IT department has to be set up and provide those options. And I certainly ran into a lot of problems trying to get those tokens or texting set up when I worked at my first job that required Duo.
Right. So there is a little bit of, like, there are some alternatives, if that's what I'm gathering from what you're saying. I personally don't work in a space that requires me to authenticate that often. I think the maximum level of authentication that we have to do in my job is just, you know, the email authentication. Like, I get a code for my SMS, and, you know, that's it. But I mean, it's good to know that there are alternatives. It's just kind of like a little bit cumbersome, right? Like, you know, most people are used to the smartphone life, and just, hey, I have the app, I have the Duo app, it gives me a ping, and I press the check mark, or I give the code, and then I'm good to go, right? But tell me a little bit more about, like, why are dumb phones interesting to you? And, you know, in this hybrid lifestyle that you have had, you're working in certain works, you have other contracts, things of that nature. Why a dumb phone? Is it just the distractions, or is there something else?
So I'm going to actually, to answer that question, I'm going to actually have to go back to my childhood a little bit. So going back to my intro, being a walking Jeopardy garbage post and reading everything I could, that started early with me. I am an obsessive information consumer. It's essentially an information addiction. My brain doesn't turn off that dopamine response once I find an answer. It's like, oh, well, then what about this? And then I go searching for another answer. And I'm the kind of person, you know, I'll get stuck on Wikipedia for 8 hours. And that started when I was young. And then when I was in high school, I believe around 2003, I got my first computer and my first taste of the, like, real internet unsupervised. And I went nuts. I, like, set up time. I would get up like 2 hours early every morning, so I had time to check my feeds, check my message boards. Yeah, those aren't a thing anymore. And just interact with my communities before I went to school. And then, you know, I was at school, I was away from it, it was fine. But as soon as I came back home, I'm right back on the computer, just immersed in that world. And this is before, like, say, social media got real big and the internet was monetized. So it was a completely different world. But I didn't have a problem then because, you know, my computer was at home. I could turn it off, I could step away from it. It wasn't in my pocket all the time. And I mean, smartphones were just a pipe dream at that point. Later on, once smartphones became more popular, I was obsessed with technology. I sold phones. Prior to that, I was obsessed with like having the newest one all the time. I did pre-orders. Like, my friends made fun of me because I was so hyped for the Note 7 to come out. And we all know how that went.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, I just stopped and I'm like, this is taking over my life. And I just couldn't do it anymore. But I also couldn't give up those certain apps. So like I said before, I started with the two phones, one phone number. I did the T-Mobile digits thing. So they both had SIM cards and I could just leave the smartphone in my car or whatever while I was at work. But I still wouldn't miss anything important. And so that is really where I come into wanting a dumb phone. I don't want to have all that information in my pocket at all times. It's just entirely too much for me. And I'll go down into these rabbit holes and never come back out.
You know, that sounds like a lot of the reality, I think, from our generation that grew up with a hybrid, right? You know, the hybrid of pre-Facebook, pre-Instagram, pre-TikTok, but we still know what the messaging boards are. We still know what the good old forums look like, right? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I still have friends from those days. Like, we still talk regularly. Like, several of them actually have my phone number and we text back and forth. And you cannot have that kind of, like, the internet today is nothing like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think there's still some mediums of communication that you can actually have, but I find them to be a little bit more invasive. Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at, right? You have Discord, which is how we connected, you know, and we get to kind of like do some of these things. But at the same time, I think they're just so much more powerful, right? The message boards of the good old days, AOL, MSN Live, Yahoo, right? The most that you could do is like send a video or a picture or maybe even an emoji, right? Like, you know, the funny things back in the day. But things have evolved to be completely different. You know, you had to wait for someone to actually get to their computer. Now they can check it almost instantaneously. So there is a big difference in how we interact with our devices. And, you know, I see that you are trying to maneuver through this new way of information and maneuver through this new world. Now, is there anything that kind of like makes you interested also in like the hybrid model? Because you use some of the digits. And I think that's actually a very good model because it's the best of both worlds. You choose when to use your smartphone and you choose when to use your dumb phone. And I think that allows people to have less obsessive compulsive use and be more mindful about their presence. But I don't know, like, you know, maybe you have some extra thoughts about that.
No, I actually found that the half and half approach was really the best thing for me just because, you know, I do occasionally need maps. Now that I've moved to Denver, I need to be able to access my train tickets. There are kiosks that I can use to like pay with cash or card or whatever. But one day I went up and they were down. And if it's down, I can't buy a ticket. So fortunately I had the app on my companion device and was able to, get a ticket that way because I mean, I could ride the train without a ticket until somebody caught me, but I mean, that's not cool. I'm not about that life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different world as well in that sense, because even just some of the basic needs are becoming more digitized, right? Like, you know, the use of QR codes for menus, we see more digital payments, things of that nature. But, you know, there's something about that good old, hey, I have a card for the bus or I have a ticket for this or doing this or that in a physical manner that I think has a different appeal nowadays, because I was listening to, maybe it was a podcast or I was reading something about how like having everything on one place is not good, right? Like, you know, if you lose your phone, you lose your life. for a lot of things when you have a smartphone, because there you have pictures of people, contacts, emails, you have social media, essentially your whole kind of like identity, payments, right? And having all of those things can be dangerous when you lose the phone, or when, you know, some bad actor, as we are starting to see the latest controversy, right, on the security kind of like, I think the name is Pegasus, right? Like, you know, the latest breach of trust and bad state actors, right?
Yeah, like everything's getting hacked now.
Yeah, I mean, I see every week at least, hey, cyber attack here, right? And eventually, yeah. Of course, they may not be targeting us at this time, but eventually there's going to be an attempt, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. on a lot of this sensitive data, and they don't have to get to your personal Wi-Fi, to your personal computer, but just to the data points that they have on all of these big companies, like Cambridge Analytica 2016, right? You know, they gather so much data from you. Now they know you. Now they can access, you know, whatever it is. And it's not that dumb phones are immune to this, right? You know, because there are some dumb phones that have smart capabilities, or there are dumb phones that can be tapped, you know, like the good old tapping, or, you know, but here's, this podcast isn't about privacy. There's plenty of podcasts that can help you with your privacy and, you know, fears and things of that nature. But I'm thinking separation is a good thing. Having everything under one place, it's like, don't put your eggs all under one basket, right? Like, you know, that's the old adage at this point. So I like that hybrid model that you've been able to kind of like master. Now, are you fully on a dumb phone now? You said you have the Exalt as of right now?
Yes. I only have a SIM card in my Exalt right now. Last week, I actually got myself a Jelly 2 as a companion device. Prior to that, I was using a Moto E6, but I was getting irritated with it because it was too big and it didn't really fit in my tiny little girl pockets, which is hilarious because the phone's only like a 5.5-inch screen, but you know, the struggle is real.
Only 5.5 inches.
Only. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give the Jelly 2 a shot because I only need it for my essentials. My maps, my train ticket, my banking, that sort of thing. And I only need it occasionally. So I use my phone, my flip phone's hotspot when I need it. And it works out wonderfully. Hmm. I even got rid of, I went and disabled the Chrome browser, because I don't even want to like train my brain to think that, oh, this has internet, if that makes any sense.
I understand what you're saying. Like, you wanted to use as a companion device, not as an extra phone,
right.
You know, and I agree with you. Actually, I'm holding the Jelly 2 as we speak right now. Because I was testing standby times. I had one person ask, you know, I did a review on it, which I think it's, you know, when it comes to this mini smartphones, I think sometimes that may be actually a very good option for a lot of people. You know, some people come into the Discord or the Reddit on the dumb phones and they ask like, I want a phone that has this feature and that feature. And sometimes I'm like, you know, man, like sometimes the best phone that you have is the one that you already have, right? Like, you know, don't try to just replace or romanticize the dumb phone lifestyle, because it's not possible for everyone. You know, you may have a job that requires that specific app and you need to go to that job. Like, you know, unless you're willing to change that part of the lifestyle that so that your, you know, regular dumb phone can fit into that. But I think the solution for mini smartphones is actually a decent one. In my opinion, because they're smaller, they're less addictive to a certain degree just because of the form factor, and they're not as powerful. You know, they don't have all of the capabilities that other bigger, faster phones have. So I think that, you know, it's a good compromise. Let me kind of pivot into a different area with this conversation as, you know, we kind of start going into the final segment of the podcast. And that is, What has it been in your relationship with other people? You know, you talked about your friends kind of like being like, hey, you know, you're switching phones all the time or getting the latest and greatest. Now that you have a dumb phone, has that changed anything with your relationships?
Not really. most of my friends are cool with it. They know I've got the flip phone and they're like, hey, if I need you right away, I'll call you. I'll text you. If not, hit me up on Discord when you get home. Everyone's been very, very supportive, very understanding. They know I have an information addiction, essentially. And they're like, yeah, anything that helps you focus. And in fact, when I went back to school, I had to get a winter job because it was really slow. And my boss at the time remembers back when I was like glued to my phone all the time. And I had just started using the dumb phone. This was around 2018. She looked at me and she's like, I think this is the best thing you've ever done for yourself. So honestly, the response has just been extremely positive in my experience. Although I have had a few funny looks from coworkers. My boss actually saw the Jelly 2 the other day and he's like, Brandy, you have too many phones. So he's like, you only need one. Like, why don't you just use a smartphone? I'm like, because I don't want to. He's like, okay, fair enough. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that having two phones is kind of like self-defeating to a certain degree. But the reality is that we have to operate in the world. You know, you cannot just live life as if it's impossible to operate. So there has to be a way to operate in the world, but also have certain things that you enjoy. It's like myself, you know, I have a GPS, I have my MP3 player, I have more things, more devices than I used to have when I used to only have my iPhone or my Android phones. But my lifestyle has improved. My life has improved just because I am not obsessing, I'm not doing all of these things, but rather just enjoying the moment and then going back to those companion devices when I have to. And I think that's what especially your boss was said. This is the best thing that can happen to a lot of people. But still, it's not for everyone. At least the super mega, you know, basic phones. You know, because nowadays we have AGM M7, which is a smartphone by all intents and purposes. You can install a bunch of the apps and it has a touchscreen and things of that nature. But it still comes in that, you know, dumb phone format or kind of like casing, if you will. And that works for a lot of people. So, I mean, it's just a matter of taste, I guess, and how you want your life to be.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's about having my connection to technology be deliberate and with purpose rather than compulsive.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. Brandy, as a final kind of question, as we dwindle down onto the end, is something about your communication style has changed? You know, you talk about this information overload. What are you replacing it with? Because I know, especially myself, that I come from a very similar background where I like to know things. I like to get to do things. And I'm always looking for some stimulation. You know, it's a positive thing. It can be a very negative thing for a lot of people if you don't know how to handle it or if you go into the wrong kind of stimuli, right? But there is positive stimuli. What have you replaced all of those Wikipedia searches with nowadays?
So I'm actually been more creative personally. I like to draw. I like to make dioramas, things like that. Actually, on my lunch break the other day, instead of, you know, surfing the internet like I would have done 2 or 3 years ago, I actually built essentially a little microism diorama with a dragonfly in it. And like, I think that was so like I felt so good about myself after I had done that, rather than, you know, spending 45 minutes on Twitter or Wikipedia or whatever. Because it's like, you know, now I have a physical thing to show for my time. And there's something really satisfying about that. In addition to that, I'm also getting more into my photography, which makes me extremely happy. I'm posting a lot of my flip phone photography on my Twitter, and people seem to be enjoying that. But other than that, I don't really interact with the site. So that's kind of funny. I just kind of like sprinkle that on there and I'm like, okay, bye. And then I never come back.
Right. And I think that you really hit on a very interesting point that you talk about. I have something to showcase, a point of conversation, something to bring into the real world that people can see. And of course, you know, digital content is important and, you know, it's part of the world nowadays, right? And you can point people towards that, but there is something about connections when you make something, crafts, you know, arts, or, you know, when you are able to showcase something to the world in a print format. I think people see and have a completely different reaction than if you just link them to, you know, your latest YouTube post. Or video in this case, or Twitter, you know, feed or whatever it is. And I think that's a very good point. I never thought about that. And of course, it takes years to start replacing all of these digital points of interaction with more physical ones and finding these creative ways. So I'm really glad to hear that you found something that really works for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever go back to smartphone fully. I tried back in April it was February to April. I got a Moto G Power, but one, the phone didn't fit in my pocket and that drove me crazy. And two, it was just entirely too much. I was right back to not being able to focus. And I just look up and it's like 3 hours are gone. Where did they go and what did I accomplish? You know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. I found myself at those places as well, where, you know, you may be using a computer or a tablet or, you know, something else that's in the electronic world, and boom, all of a sudden time just went by and you feel like as if you did not accomplish much. So, thank you for sharing your story, Brandy. We really appreciate kind of like having a little bit more of a nutshell, a different experience, from another member from the community. So we really thank you for bringing in kind of like some of your stories, things that you have done. As always, we like to leave the audience, all of you listening, with a final word from our guests. So, Brandy, tell us your final word, whatever you want to say. This is your time.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And then I guess ultimately just, you know, don't feel like there's just a one-size-fits-all solution for the dumb phone situation. Sometimes what works for you might not work for everybody else. And as long as you're happy, that's all that really matters.
That was Brandy sharing her story on the LG X-Salt and compulsive information finding to creativity and artistry, and just finding a way to enjoy the world a little bit more. Hope her story was an inspiration to you. If you have a story to share, make sure to reach out through the Discord, through Reddit, through the email, or anything else. Please make sure to check out all of the other content. And if you have any questions or anything, make sure to also put them in the comments of my YouTube channel, or, you know, anything that you can reach me at. And as always, in the Dumb Fun Show, we invite you to stay focused on your goals. So go ahead and go stay focused and crush them goals. See you next time.